this is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride & Son Home Studios
on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Anders is the official accounting firm of the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Been around for over 50 years, started with two employees. Now they're well over 100. My daughter interned there last summer, and this summer, Doug Armstrong's daughter, an outstanding basketball player from Westminster, Kayla, is going to be interning there. They are just one of the best in the business, and they encourage everybody, I mean everybody, to just enjoy your life and let them handle the finances. They could do it if you're a big investor, small company, big company, AndersCPA.com. Go to their website to find out more information. Mike Claiborne texting in, picked you up in Florida before my tea time. Yeah, rub it in, Mike. Thanks. So Monique goes in to have her wisdom teeth removed. That's absolutely not true, but it is not a serious surgery. And you are parlaying it into the Last Supper for a guy who's on death row. Priceless. Yes, God will certainly take a second look at your resume on earth.
Is Claibs already in Florida?
Oh, of course.
Oh.
Let me tell you, in my next life, it's I want to be Mike, because he goes down there. First, he takes the Cardinal cruise. He's on there for like maybe a couple of weeks there. Then he goes to that fantasy camp, and now he's down there, you know, 2 weeks before. And he, you know what he does? He drives two cars to the complex every day. One is a black Jaguar, and the other is one of those classic Thunderbirds.
If he were a player, people would be like, complimenting him for getting down there so early.
You're right.
Yeah, that's all it is. Mike's just early. He's putting the work in. Yeah, he's getting prepared for the season.
What, he was turning on the mic? And
making sure everything's plugged in.
Very nice. All right. Let me see here. One more quick little advertising mention before we get to our main guest, Mr. Connolly. I do want to tell you about the Gatesworth, finest in senior living. If you're looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, why not? The Gatesworth, 170 in Del Mar. They really, what they do is they take care of people. And we feel so good that my mother, who's about to turn 90 years old, is in great hands. The food is outstanding. We've had some great lunch. Last Saturday, we had my brother Doug, my brother Mark, my nephew Frankie, myself. Just had a great time there. We just feel good about the Gatesworth. So if you're looking for a place, look no further. The Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. You did some postgame last night with the Blues. What's the most interesting thing from your postgame jumped out at you?
Well, I think, you know, the independent contractor comments from Doug Armstrong were probably on the minds of the players. And so just everybody talked about how the communication was better. Paul Stastny mentioned that in particular, that guys were talking with each other, chirping with each other throughout the game, making sure everybody was on the same page, whereas Mike Yeo didn't necessarily get a heck of a lot more vocal than he normally would because he's kind of phasing in there, but the players really took it on themselves last night to do that, and that's all well and good, but we'll see if they can continue doing it, I think, going forward. That'll be key.
Good to hear. All right, he joins us every Friday, and this time he is at the Super Bowl. He is Oliver Connolly, the most knowledgeable football man I know. Oliver, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I wish I was at the Super Bowl. That'd be fun.
Oh, you're not there. You're going to be observing from your... are you in London? Where are you?
I am in Manchester currently, in the north of England, and I'll be up till whatever time it finishes and on deadline, so it's like 6 in the morning or so, I guess.
So what? It starts at 5:30 Central Time. What time will it start where you are?
That'll be, I guess, what, 11:30? Something like that.
Okay. How about interest level for you? I know you love all things about football, but just a gut feel, interest level 1 to 10 in this Super Bowl.
A 10. I think if you're any kind of film junkie or someone who enjoys kind of the schematic side of the game, this is as fun a match as you can get on both sides of the ball, really.
So what does Bill Belichick try to do to just slow down this explosive Falcon offense?
I honestly have no idea. I wrote a column about this on Monday where I tried to figure out some of the different matchups that they would try and create there in New England. Obviously, Belichick is famous for taking something he wants to take away, but when you delve through the individual pieces, Mohamed Sanu is such a key component to this game, the Falcons receiver, because he's not a traditional slot guy. He's 6'2". He's kind of in that Marquise Colston role where he's a much taller guy than traditionally. And the Patriots have stumbled into this kind of base construct of their defense where they finally found the pieces they want at cornerback, where they have two tall guys on the outside, Malcolm Butler and Eric Rowe, and then in the slot they have Logan Ryan. So if you go in with that mindset, then you kind of are just going to lose a matchup. So it's a really, really tough one. As I conclude in the piece, the only guy I think who could come up with this would be the best defensive mind in football. Unfortunately, they have that in Belichick. But if you go through it piece by piece, Frank, there's no real way where you can make the personnel matchups work in their favor where someone for Atlanta doesn't have a big game just through the design of the system.
How does Tom Brady attack Atlanta?
Well, I wrote this yesterday, in fact, that if you laid the Patriots playbook over the Falcons playbook, it would be a how-to on how to shred that defense. I always get asked, what do the Patriots do differently than other teams? And one thing that they do that no other team really does in the NFL is they have a lot of guys with skill sets of playing inside, so all those small white guys we talk about, and then Martellus Bennett, the tight end. And they line up outside, but they release inside. So traditionally, boundary receivers, they're releasing outside to get down the field. The Patriots get them to come inside and attack the middle of the field. What the Falcons run on defense is a base cover three, where you have three deep defensive backs. And so the middle of the field is the part you attack, the two seams either side of one deep safety. It's going to be a real problem for Atlanta. They're going to have to play more man coverage than they would like to, and they just have a lot of young players. And when you have that many young players going up against Tom Brady, who can control the game from the line of scrimmage, it's going to be a major, major challenge for Atlanta to stop them.
We're talking with Oliver Connolly, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a man who looks at about 12 hours of tape per day, college football, NFL-related. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. All right, now give me your take on this. I know that you are a big fan of Steve Young. In fact, I do want to tell you this, too. We had Mike Martz on a couple of weeks ago, and I asked Mike about five greatest quarterbacks of all time. And I named my four, and I said, who would be the fifth? And he didn't hesitate. He said Steve Young, just like you. So to the two most knowledgeable people I know about football, they both say Steve Young. But if Brady wins and it's number five, something that nobody else has done, and his stats blow away, you know, Joe Montana's career, I know it's more of a passing league, isn't it tough to, you know, get away from Tom Brady not being the best quarterback of all time?
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you go by greatest and that brings in resume, I've always said the Mount Rushmore, Brady's the first guy you chisel in there. There's just no doubt about it. And I love Brady's game. My point with Young has always been is that if you just started a team from scratch and you had all of them in their primes, he's just the guy because he can do everything and all of them can't do everything. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, I had kind of a crisis of faith on this during that playoff run because he can pretty much do everything. So he's edging into that conversation. If you just went pure talent, I mean, the three guys, Marino's ability to throw the ball, Steve Young, and then Aaron Rodgers. But if you go on resume and greatness and then everything that encompasses that, there's no doubt that Brady's already there. This would just be kind of adding stuff to it at this point and running away from the pack.
If Matt Ryan wins this thing, and he does have some pretty good career numbers, believe me, before this season, nobody would have said Matt Ryan Hall of Fame. But if he wins this thing and he wins the MVP, isn't he on his way to Canton, Ohio?
I would hope so because I look at what voters look at now and I mean, you stack up Matt Ryan against Eli Manning, and it's not even close if we're all honest with ourselves, but they're going to put Eli in because Tyree caught a ball off the side of his helmet. So if guys like that get in, then I'd hope Matt Ryan does. What I hope this does, just kind of a big picture point of view, is show people in shows like debate shows and the narrative of covering football, is that we don't have to, you know, decapitate the quarterback and take him out of a team just because the team stinks for a couple of years. Like the Falcons stunk for two straight years. They were terrible. And no one ever wavered on moving on from Matt Ryan because he was good enough to do that. And hope that can kind of translate with some other guys here down the road.
It is Hall of Fame Saturday. And they're going to announce, I guess, 5 to 7 names and then some veterans also. Are Kurt Warner, everybody extremely excited about this possibility. Was anybody better than Warner at his best? I know it wasn't as long as some others, but what about an evaluation of Kurt and what made him tick?
What made him so special, and I wish he would reveal this more on broadcasts, in all honesty, you know, when he's doing the NFL Network stuff, that guy's ability to take something so large, you should see their playbook. I have the Greatest Show on Turf's playbook. It's remarkable. I've never seen something that thick. And then they would add in almost entire new constructs each game week, which you don't see for the most part in the NFL. You know, you just game plan and you take bits and pieces that you think will work week to week. They would bring in full new kind of personnel packages and so on and concepts in game week. And he would process it all and he would orchestrate things before the snap and he would just dissect people. It is just truly remarkable how much he can get into his brain, how much he can process with what the defense is doing and how he just gutted people. Just a remarkable, remarkable guy from the neck up.
How about Isaac Bruce? He is a finalist and it normally takes wide receivers a while to get in, but do you believe Isaac Bruce is a Hall of Famer?
I'm not so sure. The backlog of receivers and where we're going to have, Terrell Owens hasn't got in. So, he was the top five guy of all time. So with these receivers, I don't know what these voters are thinking about.
How about Don Coryell, who Mike Martz gushed about a couple of weeks ago on the radio? What about him getting in?
He has to get in. It would be embarrassing. It's supposed to be a museum, right, where you walk around and show your kid. That's kind of the idea of this thing, and you show them the history of the game. If he doesn't get in, then it's a shame on the Hall of Fame. What the league is doing now is based on what he did. And so for him not to get in, it would just be like, hey, let's not have Bill Walsh in there. I mean, it's the same thing. He designed an offensive system, and now everyone's running many, many years later, so it shouldn't even be a discussion.
Jerry Jones is also a finalist. He's not a real popular guy in the St. Louis area because he's the one that helped Stan get to Los Angeles. Do you believe Jerry Jones belongs in the NFL Hall of Fame?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, he'll probably get in because he has all that clout and power and stuff, and maybe so. Do I think Jerry Jones is a Hall of Famer? If I did the gut test where you were just like, you know, is he, isn't he? I would say no, but I assume he will get in just because of the power he has around the league.
Speaking of the Rams, they've made this coaching hire. You know their roster, and you know the lack of draft choices they have this year because of the Jared Goff trade. How quickly do you think the Rams are up and running, or will they ever be up and running?
I hope so. Sean McVay was my guy coming into these coaching hires. I didn't think there was a surefire guy out there, so the guy I would have gambled on would have been McVay, so I do like the hire there. I am concerned about the experience thing. The age is insignificant. It's the amount of experience he's had, in my opinion. And he surrounded himself with some really experienced people, so that will help. I think the fit of him with Goff is everything that Jared could have hoped for. That should work pretty well. And then just how quick can you get things going on the defensive side of the ball, and Wade Phillips is such a great fit. They should be competitive right away. I mean, the reason they fired Jeff Fisher was because they had a roster that should have been competitive, and it wasn't. So they should be at least competing in games and looking at kind of the 500 mark right away.
And on Goff, you think he can be fine now that they have a reasonable offensive mind there as opposed to, you know, Jeff Fisher's prehistoric offensive mind?
Yeah, the thing that will benefit him is they attack people through design, which if you're not doing that in 2017, you have no chance. If you're running isolation stuff with guys like Kenny Britt and Tavon Austin, which is what they were doing, then Goff was just going to get killed as he did. The concern I have with Goff with this system is a lot of footwork. You have to move a lot. They move the launching points where a guy drops back to and where they roll out from in the center. There's a lot of that in McVay's system to kind of misdirect the defense. And it's very effective. You see what happened with Kirk Cousins when McVay got there, he took off. It's Gruden's system, but McVay was calling the plays. Goff is going to take a couple of years to do that stuff, coming from the air raid system in Cal, and he didn't show any of that in his rookie season. So there's a steep learning curve there, but what McVay will do is define things for him more, and I think it'll make the job easier for him from kind of the neck up stuff and processing things.
Good stuff. Oliver, enjoy the Super Bowl in England. We'll talk next week. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, Frank.
All right, the great Oliver Connolly joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Hey, we all know that Sunday is the big game, but McBride & Son Homes has the big deal. Buy a McBride & Son inventory home this weekend and save from $5,000 to $95,000 on a new home. Wait, that's not all. Qualified buyers will also get a 55-inch flat-screen TV to watch the big game. Now, that is a tremendous deal. Save thousands on a new McBride & Son home, and we know they make the best homes by far, and get a 55-inch TV this weekend only. Restrictions apply. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details. on the big game sale this weekend. Brian, read that. Oh, this menu of Super Bowl food.
Frank from the Bow Weevil of Beeville Mill.
Yes. Okay. Listen to this here.
Partial menu of the party I go to for the Super Bowl includes bacon wrapped applewood pork tenderloin.
Oh.
Mac and cheese cups.
Oh.
Crock pot chicken taco bites. Carbonara potato skins.
No, wait a minute. A carbonara. It's at Kimo's. We've had this dish called spaghetti carbonara. That's with like prosciutto, ham, and eggs in the pasta. So they're gonna have carbonara potato skins. How creative is that?
This sounds really good. Bacon wrapped buffalo shrimp.
Oh my goodness.
And homemade clam chowder. Now I would like to reiterate that was a partial menu for the Super Bowl. So there are more items that there will be available at his Super Bowl party.
I wonder
if you would like to text in the address.
Yeah, no kidding.
I wonder if the Bow Weevil of Beeville Mill would mind if the three of us stop by. At least like early, you know, like at 4 o'clock and then just kind of dine and dash.
Whenever they start serving.
Yeah. Wow, that is elegant. All right, what else?
Frank, in regard to the game Sunday, and if I care, I just turned 58 years old and went to big red games with my dad and cheered for Jim Hart, Mel Gray, Terry Metcalf, and the like. Then became an original PSL holder for the Rams and was lucky enough to see Ricky Prohl's catch in person propel us to the Super Bowl. Most exciting event I've ever attended. And now, thanks to the greed of Mr. Potter, parentheses Kroenke, my level of interest in the NFL is zero. I hate Goodell, Kroenke, Jerry Jones, and the only thing I hope for is the Rams continue to be the worst, most embarrassing franchise in an embarrassing league. That's from the 314.
Can we just send him a gift certificate?
Sure.
Yeah, that is so good. God bless this man for his passion. I empathize with everything he is saying. All right, this guy should do a show with Larry Nickel talking about Oliver Connolly, and then the emailer who is closest on the translation should get a free meal at Kimo's. Are they saying you can't understand Oliver?
Oh, you can understand Oliver.
What are you talking
about?
It's a beautiful British accent. Please,
Frank, have you ever been to the Pink Pony restaurant? Do you know what that is?
In Springfield, Mo. I have not.
I'm wondering if that's something that is maybe raunchy. It's because of the word pink.
Peppy suggesting what Mike Claiborne may be doing in Jupiter, scouting out 2-pound carrot cakes. How about that? What's that restaurant? Porter's in Collinsville. Steakhouse, and they're famous for 2-pound carrot cakes. Okay.
Frank, I believe that the University of Missouri would be better served just dissolving the men's basketball program. Eliminate the program. Just put it on a shelf. The reconstruction of Europe after World War II took less time than this would take from the Bow Weevil of Beeville Mill.
All right, let me ask you this. Here's an interesting thought here. Frank, I would already take Reyes over all those pitchers you just named. Now, if I ask the question like this, you're picking 2 pitchers from the entire Cubs staff, from the entire Cardinal staff, and you get to have these 2 pitchers for 5 years, wouldn't Carlos be 1 and Reyes be 2? Or are you that sold on Reyes yet, even though he's done nothing?
Ooh,
that's tough.
Or do you take Kyle Hendricks? I mean, you can't take Lester or Lackey. Hendricks.
No, I could consider Arrieta, but he'll be up in age by the time that 5 years is up. I don't know. I think.
What would you? Okay, you got to answer the question. You get 2 from either roster.
If it's 5 years, then I'm probably taking Martinez and Reyes. But if it's next year,
then
I'm giving a different answer.
Yeah, I agree with that.
5 years, I'll probably take. It's because they have age. I think their ceiling
for
is
for 5 years.
Higher.
I'll take both the Cardinals in this upcoming season. I might take 2 Cubs.
I'll probably take Lester and
Lester
maybe Hendricks.
I might go Lester Arrieta.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a short timeout. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. I think Brad Meyer is going to join us when we come back.